Daniel chapter number 9. Let me say just a word for you before I get started preaching here tonight, trying to share with you some thoughts out of chapter number 9. Appreciate you praying for me on Monday night. I enjoyed myself. I had a good time in camp meeting. Appreciate Brother Gary driving me down there. Amen. We had a good fellowship, and I appreciate that. Just thank you for praying for us. It's good to get away in a meeting and just get turned loose, and I enjoyed that. And I really, there for a little bit, I felt like I was 18, sure enough. With a 52 years experience. I said 53 the other day. I'd have to be 71, I believe. I can't even count anymore. Anyway, somewhere in there. But it's a joy to preach the Word of God. Amen. Appreciate God's blessings and God's help. And then Sister Erica, she'll be heading out tomorrow. And so remember her in prayer and pray for her. And her and John will both be down there. And Amy and Brother Chris is going to be having an empty nest here for long. And you pray for them. All right, in your Bible's chapter 9, book of Daniel. Not going to look at chapter 8 right now anyway. There's another vision that Daniel had, and it has a whole lot to do with the Antichrist or the picture of the Antichrist, and has to do with the kingdoms as the image did. But in chapter 9, we come to some real prophecy that probably the most important. If you ever grasp chapter 9 of Daniel, you'll probably have a good foundation for prophecy in the Word of God, understanding prophecy and the 70 weeks. And I'm not even going to get to that tonight. I just want to use it on a more practical front for the first part of the book, that chapter. I have many times mentioned chapter 9 of Daniel. I many times looked at the last few verses of that chapter and talked about the 70 weeks and so forth. But I got to looking at this and studying on the first part of it, and God spoke to my heart. And I pray that God will help us tonight. Let's stand, please, while we read the Word of God. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fastings and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and terrible, dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. We have sinned and have committed iniquity, have done wickedly, and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto the servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. We'll stop reading there tonight. And keep your Bibles open. We'll read some more scriptures out of this chapter as we go tonight. But let's bow our heads just for a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. And thank you tonight, God, for the privilege we have to be here in this place. And Lord, to be in your house and come together and meet and fellowship and sing songs. And then, Father, study the Word of God. I pray you'd help us tonight as we look in thy Word. Have your way. Speak to our hearts. And I pray challenge all of us tonight. And challenge us as a church, as a people of God. I praise you and thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you for Calvary. I praise your name. We do love you because you showed your love at Calvary and first loved us. And Lord, we thank you for loving us when unlovable and came where we were, convicted us and drew us and brought us to yourself. I praise your name and give you glory. Ask you tonight to help us now, God, to think. Help us be able to speak, and I pray the power of God, take the Word of God, speak to hearts tonight and challenge all of us, and we'll thank you and praise you in what you do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Ezra chapter 9, Nehemiah chapter 9, and Daniel chapter 9 all have a similar theme throughout. They're dealing with the Word of God, with prayer and repentance. And tonight, I just titled it, The Great Need of Today. The Great Need of Today. I think Daniel gives us here in the first part of chapter 9, the great need of our day. And it's up to date for us today as it was in his day. And Daniel, God used him mightily in many ways. And Daniel, here he's saying in chapter 9, I understood some things. And so we're going to talk about prayer particular tonight and pray that God would help us in that. I need all the help I can get in it. But notice his prompting in prayer. I want you to see this, his prompting in prayer. In verse number 2, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years where the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet. And then went on to talk about the 70 years. He said, I was reading Jeremiah, and I found out that the 70 years determined on the Jerusalem for desolation. And what I'm trying to say here is, as he begins his prayer, he's reading the Word of God. He is studying God's Word. God's Word and prayer go together. Amen. If you don't read the Word right, you won't pray right. And you don't pray right, you won't read the Word right. And so if you're reading the Word right, it'll help you in your prayer life. It'll help you as you pray. I want you to look in Jeremiah chapter number 25. Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 11 and 12. Here's what Daniel was reading. Here's a real example of what Daniel, in studying the Word of God, what he did. He was a student of the Word. He read the book. He knew what God said. Look at verse number 11 of chapter 25 of the prophet Jeremiah. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity in the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it perpetual desolations. He said, I'm going to deal with them, and there'll be this 70 years there in captivity. And Daniel began to think about that and study on that and thought about it. But now let's go back in Leviticus chapter 27, and you'll find the basis of Jeremiah's prophecy. In Leviticus chapter 27 and verse number 30, chapter 26 of Leviticus and verse number 32. Leviticus chapter 26, verse number 32. And said, I'll bring the land into desolation. Your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. I will scatter you among the heathen, will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate and your cities waste. Then shall the land enjoy her Sabbaths as long as it lieth desolate, ye be in your enemy's land, even then shall the land rest and enjoy her Sabbaths. As long as it lieth desolate, it shall rest, because it did not rest in your Sabbaths when you dwelt upon it. Now, if you'll study the Bible history, you'll find that from the time they went into the land of Canaan until they went in captivity was 490 years. They was to keep a Sabbath of the years. They would lay 1 year out of seven, lay the land aside, not cultivate it, not do anything to it, and let that land rest that seventh year. And they didn't do that. And God said, for every year, then I'm going to let you go into captivity. 70 times seven is 490. Now that number is important in this chapter when we get to the prophecy. So hang on to it. And it'll come into play when we're talking about that is yet to come. So keep it in mind, if you would please, and you'll find where it that will play a part in that. But what I'm trying to say to you here is, Daniel was reading Jeremiah. He knew what Leviticus said. He knew what Jeremiah said. And he's going to pray now. He's getting ready to pray about it. And I want you to get this setting of this, because it prompted him in the prayer that he prayed. What prompted some of his praying here is the fact of the Word of God. And so I encourage you to stay in the Word of God, read it and study it, and it'll prompt you to pray more and prompt you to pray in the right way. And God began to deal with my heart about some things as I thought about this and looked at it. I want you to see verse number 3. Here's a pursuit of prayer. Now, he was prompted by the Word of God, but he pursued prayer. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fastings and sackcloth and ashes. He said, I started praying. I prayed, verse number 4. I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and them that keep his commandments. He said, I started praying. And as he prayed, he began that God's a covenant-keeping God. He's a God of mercy. And he remembered that. He's reading Jeremiah now. He's reading about those 70 years. But Daniel is not a fatalist. He is not one that said, well, God said 70 years and he's going to restore us. And I'm just going to sit back and watch it happen. That was not what Daniel did. Daniel started praying and seeking after God because he realized why they were there. He saw by scripture what God was doing, and he knew what was going to happen by scripture. And Daniel wanted to be ready for what God was going to do when the 70 years were completed. And I say to you that he did it by the word of God. And God showing him that. He sent Gabriel to him and helped him to understand these things. And Daniel began to pray. How good it is to read the word of God and see a need and begin to pray. He began to pray. Before Pentecost, they prayed. They were together in one place, one accord, and praying. They were not praying for the coming of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came by divine promise. God, Jesus said, if I go away, I will send the Comforter unto you. And so he came by divine promise from God that the Comforter would come. And he did come. But I want you to know tonight that they were praying so they would be ready when he did come. I know that Jesus Christ is coming again. But I don't need to sit back on some hilltop somewhere and just keep looking up in the sky waiting for him to come. I need to occupy till he does come. I need to be busy about his business till he gets here. And I need to be asking God about some things. I need to be doing something else I'm going to get to in a minute and show you what I believe is our greatest need tonight in our church. I believe this is the greatest need that we have in our lives individually. I believe it's the greatest need we have across America tonight. America's in bad shape. And we can bring that down to God said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Did you ever notice he never said one thing about the heathens, what they needed to do? He never even mentioned that crowd that didn't know God. If the drunks would straighten up, if the homosexuals would get right, if all that stuff, all that dirty and filthy stuff would be gone. He didn't say that at all. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Hey, that's what I'm going to deal with tonight. Us, that God will help us, that we may see ourselves like we really are too much of the time. We're like the church of Laodicea. We see ourselves as not needing anything. We get along okay, and we're making ends meet okay, and we're in church, and so we kind of get self-satisfied. I preached on woe to them that ease in Zion here not long ago and touched on some things, but my heart's still crying to God that we'll see our need as God would have us to see our need, and that we might let God do what he wants to do. And so here he's reading the word of God. He sees something. He begins to pray and seek God about it. As he did, he remembered that God's a God of covenant keeping God and a God of mercy. Let me tell you tonight that God has never promised anything that he will not do. God has never one time failed one promise that he made. All the promises God ever made in his word has either been fulfilled or is being fulfilled or will be fulfilled. There's not one promise he ever made that he did not keep. What God says, he means. And if God said about my people, if they would, he would, I believe God meant what he said. And it's a promise from God. And I believe that. And so Daniel began to pray. He said, I know that God's a covenant-keeping God. I know he'll do what he said. I know when that 70 years is up, Jerusalem will not be desolate anymore. I know God's going to do something. But then he began to pray. But notice how he prayed. I want you to see this. He began to confess. And verse number 4 again. O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping covenant and mercy. Them that love him, them keep his commandments. Now notice verse 5. We have sinned. First, he starts praying, giving God glory, saying he's a covenant-keeping God, thanking him for his mercy. He begins his prayer that way, but it's not long before he's confessing sin. He said, we, notice that. He said, we, not they, but we, have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled. Boy, he's not leaving anything out. He's just saying, I'm getting honest before God. I believe what he's saying. We've done wickedly. We've failed. I have rebelled against God. And by the way, let me plug us in right here. If we're not careful, we'll be rebelling against God. And God will have to deal with us. Amen. And a nation has been already being dealt with as a church and as a people of God. We had best be careful how we do. Notice verse number 6. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets. He said, not only have we sinned and come short of the glory of God, done wickedly, but we hadn't heard the preacher. We hadn't heard the preaching the word of God. We hadn't heard the prophets. We hadn't heard what they had to say. We've paid no attention. And when they said what we ought to be doing, we didn't do it. And here we are in the mess we're in. And we're in captivity. I know. And he just began to confess. Look in verse number 8. And the latter part of that verse, because we have sinned against thee. Verse number 9, the latter part of that verse, we have rebelled against him. Verse number 10, neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which is set before us by his servants, the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy laws. Even by departing, they might not obey thy voice. Therefore, the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, servant of God, because we have sinned against him. Now, he's mentioned in the book of Leviticus there. He said the law of Moses, talking about the curse there, about keeping the Sabbath. He said, if you don't, I'm going to let you go in captivity. I'm going to let your enemies take you, make Jerusalem desolate. He did that thing. He read it. He knew it. He knew it from Jeremiah. He knew it from Leviticus. Look in verse 14 and 15. And the latter part of verse number 14, for we obeyed not his voice. In verse number 15, latter part of that verse, we have sinned and we have done wickedly. And so here we find, he's just over and over. You read that through, you'll find about 21 times somewhere thereabouts that he confessed that we have sinned, or I've sinned, or the whole nation has sinned. He's confessing sin and just admitting we've sinned. And sometimes it's hard for us to admit that we've sinned and come short of the glory of God, but God wants us to do so. As he did this, I want you to look at verse number 17. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. He said, now I'm praying. I'm asking God to forgive us. I'm praying for repentance for myself and my people. And now I've come to the place, Lord, I want you to do it for your sake. It's not anything about me saying, it's for your sake. And look at verse 18, latter part of that verse. For we do not present our supplication before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. Verse 19, O Lord, hear, O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. And defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people called by thy name. He's saying, now I want you to hear me, for not for my righteousness, but for yours. I don't want you to do it because we're going to benefit from it. I want you to do it because it's your namesake. It's your city, Jerusalem. We're your people, and we bear witness of you, and we desire that you help us for your glory and your honor and your praise. Too much of the time we pray selfishly and want God to do it because we make us feel good, make us enjoy something that we want. But I ought to pray for his glory and his honor. Let me say tonight, church, it glorifies him when we let him have his way in our hearts. We confess our sin, and we believe God, and we praise him, and we go after others to get them saved, and we bring others in. It magnifies him. It's for his sake, his glory, his honor. It's not for our number and trying to outdo somebody for something. It's not trying to make some kind of a name for ourselves. It's for his glory, and we want to see God do something. In fact, is in America, if our prayers is for America simply to help the economy, we're flat wrong in praying for it. If our desire for America is simply to that we don't want to see the things around us so ungodly, if that's the only reason we're praying for, that's the wrong reason. He ought to be praying because it brings disgrace to the name of our God. And we ought to pray for his glory, his honor. America come back to God. Amen. And in their individual lives, our churches need that. We need God to breathe through in us to see ourselves. like we really are. If we ever see ourselves like we are, we won't leave like we are. We'll be on the altar before God. We'll be asking God to help us. And in these days, God help us not to blame somebody else, but look at ourselves and see us as we really are. God help us. Amen. The power. Here he is praying. Here he is in that pursuit of prayer. He's prompted by the word of God. He's praying. But the power, let me say, Psalm 66 and 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. God will not hear me, so I must confess sin. But if you notice in his prayer, there's no amen to it. He doesn't finish it. He's praying. Look at verse 21. Yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the first vision at the beginning, back in chapter 8, you'll see that, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. Verse number 23, and beginning of the supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, that's Gabriel speaking to him, for thou art greatly beloved, therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. Then it begins that great prophecy that's given in chapter 9. But before he gets to the prophecy, he's studied the word of God, he's prayed, he's confessing to God his need, and then God sends somebody to help him. I'm glad suddenly, all of a sudden, while he prayed, and he was making his supplication to God, and he was confessing. I mean, he saw where the wrong was. He saw himself. He saw the nation. And as he prayed, Daniel was a man of God. Daniel was a prayer warrior. Daniel was that man that it was greatly beloved of God. But yet as he prayed, he said, we have sinned. We have done this. We have done wickedly. He identified himself with his people and cried to God to help him and confessed unto God. And then as he did so and said, for your sake, and give him glory. And then God and the power of God came, and God sent Gabriel by to answer him. I want you to turn with me in 2 Chronicles, and I close. 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse number 35. Here's Hezekiah and his people. They are repenting and getting right with God. Also, the burnt offerings were in abundance with a fan of the peace offerings and drink offerings for every burnt offering. So the service of the house of the Lord was set in order. The service of the house of the Lord was set in order. And Hezekiah rejoiced. And all the people that God had prepared the people, for the thing was done suddenly. It was done suddenly. God answered the prayer of my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then we'll hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. I want you to bow your head, close your eyes. All over the house, heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for thy word, thy truth. And Father, as we see Daniel here studying the word, and then we see him praying. And Lord, as he prayed and began to confess, Father, I cry unto you to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us of our unrighteousness and our not witnessing and our not doing as we ought. And Father, I pray in Jesus' name you'd help me and our people, God, that we may be and do what you'd have us to be and do. I pray tonight, speak to our hearts, challenge our lives. We'll praise you for all you do in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I want you to stand to your feet, please.